Music Roots, a two-day music festival, explores those roots at the first-ever Kauai Folk Festival at Grove Farms next weekend. Check your calendar as we get a sneak preview. The rundown includes Taj Mahal and Peter Rowan. Well, this morning we have in our studio Matt Morlock.
Hello.
And Kylan Reese.
Aloha.
And Kate Ellis.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about the Kauai Folk Festival that's coming up.
And all the cool stuff that underpins it as well.
Yes. Yeah. So how did this idea get born?
The idea got born, at least for me personally, when I was a child growing up in East Tennessee around bluegrass music, but with an obsession with African music and an obsession with Irish music, and just realizing, even as a child, that all these musics were so similar to one another and history was so similar. And we moved to the island of Kauai about 10 years ago and noticed with Hawaiian music and Hawaiian culture that Hawaiians are just like Southerners, just like me. People always ask me, must be culture shock in Hawaii. And I say, no, the Hawaiians are just like Southern people. The people from California I'm having trouble getting used to, but the Hawaiians are great. So the festival came about just meeting people like Kylan and Kate, who are here in the studio, and all the other wonderful musicians on Kauai and on the other islands as I travel and play music, and realizing that we need an event that not only celebrates the unique styles of music that exist on the continent and here in the state, but also an event that connects them and puts these communities in the same place together. Around the festival, the folk festival is at the end of September, here in just a couple of weeks. We're going to have a lot of mixers and jams outside of the festival with just the musicians, so that by the time they get to the stage, they will have heard each other's music, met one another, heard each other's stories, and then are able to share them to the audience there at the Kauai Folk Festival.
I mean, you've got a great lineup here.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a lot of bands and a lot of individuals. People always ask me, I haven't heard of many of these people. And I say, well, that's kind of the point. We want you to come and be surprised, and I want you to trust me.
Good. Oh, yeah. I mean, you've got Taj Mahal, Peter Rowan. Mm-hmm. Kylan, mm-hmm. Chime in here, because there's a Hawaii connect.
Right. So a couple years back, I was blessed to be on an album with Peter Rowan. We recruited some of our favorite local Hawaiian musicians, Doug Tolentino, Jeff Aohoi, Uncle Mike, a bass player from Doug's Ohana. And we put together a bunch of Peter Rowan's original songs that he had written, inspired by this shared lineage, this shared genealogy between country, Appalachian music, and Hawaiian music. And the research that I've been doing over the last decade, which has culminated in the founding of the Kealakai Center for Pacific Strings, a nonprofit here, is dedicated to celebrating this shared common ground between these vast and deep musical cultures and getting together to, you know, celebrate through the joy of music and fellowship and camaraderie and good food. This festival is going to have a lot of good food. But, you know, the other person on the bill, Taj Mahal, I had a really good afternoon with him in Berkeley, California, my hometown, where he also lives. And he said, you know, man, I've been wanting to tell my role with Hawaiian music for decades. He said the first music that knocked me out listening to the radio as like a four-year-old kid was the sound of a Hawaiian steel guitar. And he was growing up, I think, in the East Coast, and he tuned into the radio and heard Hawaiian steel guitar. And, you know, the more you do this research, the more people you talk to, that's a story that gets repeated over and over. Peter Rowan's first instrument was an ukulele. You know, that's Matt, you probably knew a lot of people in growing up in Tennessee who played ukulele and steel guitar and dobro.
Oh my goodness, yeah. And they're still to this day in some of the old churches in Eastern Tennessee, in the rural areas. They still have the choir singing, the piano playing, and the Hawaiian guitar backing it up. And it's, I mean, still to this day, even in some of the African-American churches and things that you would just never expect on the surface. Hawaiian culture has so deeply affected continental culture, and especially the traditional communities.
And you talked about you did a paper once on authenticity the sharing that goes around in music.
It's the perception of authenticity is so delicate, because we want to be proud of who we are and where we're from. We want that to be real, just as real as we are in our bodies. And that is so, we so understand. But here we are with you, Ms. Cruz, from Guam in Hawaii, at a public radio station staffed by a multicultural staff, representing, you know, the Kai Lin's research, especially, and we're searching the late royal era, and especially Devakalakala. And Honolulu, while we love the Hawaiian-ness of it, has always been a multicultural melting pot. Probably, definitely, I guess the state of Hawaii is the most culturally diverse state in all of America right now. And just celebrating this diversity, I think especially now when people are excluding one another because they're not authentic this or they're not authentic that, we have to realize that humans have been around for a long time. Culture has been intermingling for a very long time, and we're all the same. We need to reach out and embrace one another rather than building walls around ourselves and excluding others. And
so at this concert, we're going to hear bluegrass. We're going to hear blues.
We're going to hear, we have a huge contingency coming from southwestern Louisiana, which is a very intact French-speaking music and dance culture, the Cajun, Acadian culture. A huge number of people coming from Lafayette, Louisiana. We also have what, to me, is the biggest surprise within Hawaiian music, and that's kachikachi music. Puerto Ricans started coming to Hawaii like over 200 years ago, and of course they brought their culture and music. And that music has been developing in Puerto Rican communities within Hawaii for a couple of centuries now. And kachikachi music was huge here in Honolulu for a while, and there isn't a whole lot of it around anymore. But Wali Rita, y Los Kauaianos, are going to be at the festival, and most people statewide think that they're the best catchy band.
Okay, it's going to be fun.
We're selfish here on Kauai. So.
Yeah, well, I might have to just fly over to Kauai for this.
Well, you can be my guest. We'll maybe have you interview some of the bands for your show. That would be cool.
Yeah. So what are you going to play for us today?
Well, we've got a song. I just took a research trip across the continent of the United States and spent about a week in Buffalo, New York, tracking down the string bands, the Hawaiian string bands that went on to that fair, and perform for 10 months side by side with Mexican mariachi musicians and Filipino orchestras, Italian orchestras. And the Hawaiians at that time introduced this new style of string band music that had come out of the community of Honolulu in the kingdom period. And it was a style that took the saxophones, the flutes of the Royal Hawaiian Band and put them together with all the string cultures that were happening here with the incredible poetry of the Hawaiian language and Hawaiian rhythms and hula music. And this is a song that we grew up in the bluegrass world knowing through the music of Bill Monroe. It's a song called The White House Blues, and it talks about the assassination of President McKinley at that 1901 Buffalo World's Fair in the music building of the fair, just a few steps away from where the Hawaiians were playing in the Hawaiian pavilion.
And you've got your guitar. Matt, you've got your banjo.
Unfortunately.
Kate's got her mandolin, which I just love.
all traditional Hawaiian instruments, actually.
Believe it or not.
All right.
So the White
House
Blues. Let's
hear it.
You're bound to die. Dr. Camerani took off his specs. Says you, McKinley, better cash in your checks. You're bound to die. You're bound to die. He jumped on. Washington. And did she whistle on down the line? On every station, McKinley is dying. Low to Washington. Taking his rest, he's gone.
Wonderful. So, Kate, how long have you been playing mandolin?
About 4 years, but before that, I was writing songs and playing guitar mostly.
Well, I'd love to pick that up.
It's really
fun. You want to give a lesson?
Yeah, yeah, come on over.
We actually have one for sale right now, I think.
This isn't that kind of place, guys.
Well, now tell us about this two-day event. I mean, because you're going to have lots of things going on.
Oh, mercy. Five different stages. Trying to find beds for over 50 different artists. Sponsorship from the Maui Brewing Company and Kupu Spirits. All of the weirdest, coolest, diverse styles of food that we could find in vendors on the island. Something around 20 craft vendors. Nonprofit booths. We have a toxic sunscreen trade-in station where you can
trade in the bad
stuff for the good stuff. We're going to have things I don't even want to tell you about because I just want you to come and see it for yourself. We're going to have dance workshops, swing dancing, square dancing, hula, Cajun two-step dancing. We're going to have instrument workshops for ukulele, for steel guitar, for banjo, mandolin. Oh, there you go. And singing workshops. We're going to have a Sunday morning sacred music singing where we're going to be flip-flopping back and forth between Hawaiian sacred hymns and Southern Appalachian sacred hymns. Back, something out of the hymnal that I grew up with in Tennessee, and then something out of the hymnal that you, the listener, grew up with here in Hawaii. Back and forth and back and forth.
Well, I'm going to have to drag my friend from Tennessee over there.
Okay, yeah, the more Southerners, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
And then you're doing all this Grow Farms.
Yes, at Grow Farm Museum, it's a living plantation right in the middle of Lihue, right, the county seat of Kauai. You can almost walk there from the airport. And it's very, very simple. It's a 110-acre campus that you wouldn't even know was there driving around on the streets. So we look forward to exposing the Grove Farm Museum as well. It's one of the really hidden gems, not only on Kauai, but statewide. They've done an amazing job preserving that place.
Yeah, well, you're fortunate to have that venue. And we thank you for joining us in the studio today. And maybe we'll see you on Kauai later at the end of the month.
I sure do hope so.
Ahui ho.
The Kauai Folk Festival takes place September 28th and 29th at Grove Farm Museum in Lihue. Tickets can be purchased at the Kauai Folk Festival website.com.